Long years ago, went out in sin. I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees, in agony, I prayed to Jesus and He gladly set me free. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. Now I can feel Him by my side. My feeble steps, He comes to guide. When trials come, He comforts me. Through faith in Him or sin, I have the victory. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me.
Hallelujah.
Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. At His dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to Him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy within. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. Now I can feel Him by my side. My feeble steps, He comes to guide. When trials come, He comforts me. Through faith in Him or sin, I have the victory. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. Oh, yes, He poured in the oil and the wine, and it's the kind that restored my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on that Jericho road. Then He poured in the oil and the wine. Oh, yes, He poured in the oil and the wine, and it's the kind that restored my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on that Jericho road. Then He poured in the oil and the wine. Oh, yes, He poured in the oil and the wine. Oh, it's the kind that restoreth my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on that Jericho road. Then He poured in the oil and the wine. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything. On that chorus, oh, I never shall forget the day.
Hallelujah.
When all the burdens
of my soul
were rolled away.
Do you remember when He saved you? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now one more
I'll
time.
Sing and shout it, for
you know
He's
you're saved, raise a hand
me.
And sing it.
Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me.
Hallelujah. Open your Bible and turn to the fifth book in the Old Testament, First Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy was Moses' last book, his fifth book. I presume they were listed in the order he wrote them. Don't know that. But Moses wrote this book of Deuteronomy. And it's actually a lot of practical information about living the Christian life. Practical information, right down to the core of living the Christian life. I want us to read it together. And I want you to listen to it carefully. See, this is God talking now. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Now, I'm going to take a moment here. I'm going to be careful. God says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and evil and death. Life and good and death and evil. And God says, I've set this before thee. Now this is a declaration that reaches across the ages. This is not a one-time event that God is talking about, but he's talking about what he's made available to mankind. I've set in front of you. I've set in front of you life and good. I've set in front of you death and evil. Death and evil. And you have to make the choice. He don't say those words there, but he says it in essence as we move on. In that I command thee that this day to love the Lord thy God. I command you. Who can tell somebody, I command you to love me? But God can command you to love him. Because he's God. So he said, this day I command thee to love the Lord thy God. To walk in his way. To walk in his ways. And to keep his commandments. And to keep his statutes and his judgments. Three things that God is commanding you to keep. His commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. That doesn't leave anything out that's in this Bible. Everybody understand that? That leaves nothing out that's in this Bible. So God has commanded that you keep his commandments, you keep his statutes, and you keep his judgments. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them. Now listen carefully. You'll have to let me look a little closer. I desire unto you, or I denounce unto you, listen carefully, that this day, that you shall perish, you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou pass over Jordan to possess it. Now this is powerful stuff, and I'm not reading it as clearly as I ought to. But God says, I command, and then he says, I denounce to you that if you don't serve me, if you refuse to obey me and you serve other gods, he said, then, listen carefully, I want you to hear it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. Choose life that both thou and thy seed shall live. Now God is saying, before you're seated, hear this, please, that I'm setting before you life and good. And I'm also putting there in front of you death and evil. You choose. You choose. You make the choice. which it's going to be. If it's good, then you're going to be blessed and your days are going to be lengthened and your life's going to be full of blessings and you're going to be a delight to some people. He goes on to say that. But if you did choose the opposite, evil, self, living like you want to live, then your days are going to be shortened. Your life is going to be impaired. I mean, just read the whole text when you get home and you will know that God meant business when he set before you either life or death. This day, every one of you are choosing either life or death. Father, I ask you to anoint your servant. May the touch of the Holy Ghost be upon me in a special manner this morning. May nobody leave here without making a choice, a firm, an irrevocable, absolute choice that they're going to serve you and live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now you may be seated. Now listen to me carefully. I am preaching this morning on standing on the Word. Standing on the Word. I can think of nothing more wonderful to preach than to give you a picture of what happens in your life when you stand on the Word. And there is no other way to serve God. God doesn't have a second choice. He doesn't have a second road to heaven. He don't have several paths that you can choose from. It's one way. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, in another place. And he says, you ought to keep my commandments and my statutes and my judgments. You ought to keep all of them and live by them. And oh, the promise is incredible if you live by those great promises of God. Now, let me help you this morning. The first thing that I want to talk about is making choices. Did you know that choices is one of the most wonderful parts of the human life? And it's one of the most powerful gifts that God could have given the human family. It's an incredible opportunity for you to choose. And God says, I will not choose for you. I'm going to tell you this is what you ought to do. I'm either going to command it, but I'm not going to force it. You got to choose. So choose you this day. How many of you will raise your hand? Let me see your hand and say with me, I want to make a choice this morning. Let me see your hand. Ready up high. I want to make a choice this morning. I want to make a choice this morning. I want to make a choice that I am going to stand on the Word of God with all of my heart and my mind and my soul. You have got to make that choice. Eternity will determine your choice and what the consequences are. Eternity. You can't escape it. You can run from it. You can deny it. You can say, I want nothing to do with it. You can choose your own path. But I'm telling you, your choices will come back to haunt you. Or they'll come back to bless you. They'll come back to make your life sweeter. Or they'll come back to give you difficulty and trying to get through the patterns of life. I'm telling you this morning, your choices are powerful forces at work in your heart and life. Can I tell you something? You are right now the result of the choices you've already made. If you are in some kind of financial mess, it is a result of the choices you've made. If your body is in some kind of difficulty, it is a result of the choices you've made. Everything about your life comes from your choices. Isn't that amazing? The power of choices. Isn't it amazing to think about the consequence of choices? What are the end results? What are the end results of your choices? Now, I've been saved 66 years. I've watched a lot of people come down to the end of their choices. I buried so many people that came down to the end of their choices. The first funeral I ever preached If you can imagine this, Tabor City, a man that was a drunkard, died in a side ditch, totally inebriated with whiskey, with liquor, with some form of intoxicant. And he died in that condition in a side ditch. And they called on me to preach his funeral. Do I know what I said? I sure don't. Maybe they could remember and they would be good. Maybe they could remember and it wouldn't be so good. I'm not really sure at this state of my life 61 years ago. But I'm here to tell you, that man was reaping what he had sown. That man was reaping what he had sown. He may not have been responsible for all of it. It may have had to do with how he was raised. It may had to do with where he went and the places he knew or went to and the people he knew. Who knows what all the choices came from? But they were still his choices. And nobody could pay the penalty of them but him. Now, let me leave this with you. You got to get this. You alone can understand. You alone can settle on the fact that your choices will be the result of your end. They will be the result of what you see. And when you get down to face those choices, don't put the blame on nobody. It don't matter who helped. It don't matter who was part of it. The whole end results is you. Are you understanding? Are you understanding? You will come down to the end of the road, and when you do, you have to look at your choices and take the responsibility for them. You have to do that. There's no way around. You may not do it, but in reality, you're doing it. Because every choice you make is going to be incredible. Now, the Bible is actually a book of many choices. You'd be amazed if you started studying the Bible just on the basis of choices and could see the many choices that were made. Let's take one or two of them. Judas Iscariot, chosen by Jesus Christ to be one of the 12 disciples, was anointed by God to cast out devils, to heal the sick. There were things that Judas Iscariot accomplished in his life that are mind-boggling. He was on the verge of having his name inscribed in one of the foundations of the city of New Jerusalem. His name would have gone down in posterity as one of the 12 disciples. Man, this man was put in an incredible place with an incredible opportunity. He saw the sick healed. He saw the dead raised. He saw arms lengthened. He saw eyes opened. He saw all kinds of incredible miracles. And every one of those miracles could have been part of his decision-making process. But the bag he carried in his pocket, the bank account that he became responsible for the 12 disciples, somehow blinded everything else that Judas Iscariot had seen. And he sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, God. Somebody raise their hand and help me right here. Will you raise that and help me? I could preach the whole sermon just on many choices in the Bible. I could tell you of those who made this choice and became so great. And of those who made choices and became such a doubt and a darkness of history. How about the first king of Israel? His name was Saul. Saul was a special young man. Special young man. The Bible says of him, when he had been anointed to become the king, that he was literally heads and shoulders taller than anybody among them. I don't know whether it meant in stature or whether it meant in his kindness and goodness, but the scripture says the spirit of prophecy came upon him, and immediately he prophesied. He just became the king of Israel. And he's prophesying. And he is an intelligent young man. There's no question that King Saul had great ability. He was a tremendous warrior in the battlefield. He was tremendous as the king of Israel. He had great children. One son became the friend of David, the next king. And they were bound together in a kind of a commitment to each other that was indeed beautiful. But King Saul turned away from good choices. Every time I read in the Bible where he's over there with the witch of Endor, and he's had to disguise himself for her even to see him. And he goes into the witch of Endor, and somehow she sees by some revelation of God that she's been fooled, and that the person in front of her is actually the king. And he says, "Oh no, I'm not gonna cause you to be killed because you're a witch," even though that had been the word gone out about him and from him in earlier days. Here's a man that had put witches out of business, that's now putting a witch in business. Are you listening to me? You can be so great in some area that God's got planned for your life, and you can ruin it just like this. You can ruin it just like this. Apostle Paul said, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway." Joe Chambers could become a castaway in the months to come. Joe Chambers could lose all of his years of dedicated labor and faithfulness to the throne of God if I would become careless. But by the grace of God, I commit unto God that I will be faithful to him and nothing else. Is it easy? No. Oh, but I'm telling you, he's faithful. He's faithful. I walked out. Oh, you see, I've got angels. I said to Brother Dillon the other day, I said, "People kid me about my driving, and they don't want to ride with me because they think I'm dangerous." I said, I'm the safest man in Charlotte, because I got two or three angels taking care of me, and they're taking care of my driving, and so many others may be good drivers, but they don't have angels. I went out on my front porch this week. Now, don't you laugh at this. I know it happened. I go out on one end of my porch and I look down the other end, and my rocking chair is rocking full steam. You know what I did? Somebody said, "That's scary." I said, "It ain't scary." I took off down there. I watched the thing stop rocking until it was doing nothing. I said, "Angels, you are welcome in my front porch, in my rocking chair. Anytime you desire to come, make yourself at home." Is it okay? Anybody believe that could be real? Let me see your hand if you believe in angels. Come on, let me see your hand. You believe in angels? If you don't, you don't believe the Bible. So if you call me crazy, you're the one that's crazy. Because I believe the Bible and you don't. Hallelujah. I'm talking about being faithful. I'm talking about making choices. Let's make the right choices. Because God's got a plan for your life. There's somebody here. I feel this. Somebody here this morning. God's dealing with you about a choice. A choice for him. I'm not doubting this now. I'm telling you, God's dealing with you by making a choice. You put it off and put it off. Never made the choice. This morning, God's going to give you a chance to make a choice again. And who knows the end results? You know, I think about the many people who've made terrible choices, and I didn't mean to spend this long on choice making, but I think it's important that you understand you have choices to make. And you've got to be wise enough to make them rightly. You've got to get in that Bible and learn that the Bible is the source of the greatest choices a human being can ever make. And any choice you make that doesn't fit this Bible is a dangerous choice. Any choice you make that isn't according to the scripture is a dark action. Is a dark action. And you must learn to make right choices. Right choices. Now go with me to Exodus 20. I want to do something I haven't done in a while. I want to take you back to the Ten Commandments. We're talking about keeping the statutes, the commandments, and the judgments of God. The Ten Commandments. You know, when I got saved, you would often hear the preachers preach about the Ten Commandments. Oh, they were at the top of the list. And no, nobody else here much, but Brother Buck and I are old enough to remember the really golden days in the Pentecostal churches. But we heard those Ten Commandments preached. We believed in living all of them. Let me just read them to you, if I might, if you don't mind. Well, I'm going to read them anyway, if you will listen. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. I won't read it all. So, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Brother Buck might remember, and Yvette might remember. When I came to Paul Creek, 1968, there was a picture behind the choir of Jesus. One that's called Inspiration. Beautiful picture. But it's not Jesus of the Bible. And when I got here, got to Paul Creek, I got to thinking, now how am I going to get rid of that? You never heard this, have you? How am I going to get that picture off that wall back there? It has no business being back there. We're not supposed to make graven images of Jesus and hang them on a wall. No way. The Bible said don't do it. And so I got to thinking, now how am I going to get rid of that picture? I knew better than come in there like a bull in a china closet. I have been guilty of that, but I wasn't at this time. I cannot tell you how I got that picture out of there. But Sister Lucille, it wasn't long till that picture was gone. I don't remember. I really don't remember how it happened. But I knew from the first day I walked in that sanctuary, that picture had to go. Or I had to go. I wasn't going to violate the second of the Ten Commandments. I was going to get rid of that picture. Because it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images of anything in heaven above. How many believe you obey God's commandments explicitly? Can I see your hand? Let me see your hand. If you believe, you literally obey them explicitly. You do. Well, the second one said, no graven images. And so I knew I had to get rid of it. Let me tell you a sad story. Oh, this is important. I know a preacher's wife. I love that preacher and I love his family. They are dear to me. But some years ago, she was having trouble sleeping. Great difficulty in her sleep. And a minister said to her, you need to get you a doll in the image of Jesus. A Jesus doll. And you need to start sleeping with that image. And that'll get rid of your fears. It became nothing but a Waterloo around her neck. And the last time I saw her, she was demon-possessed. And her life was in a mess. And often she has been in the mess because of this. And I would presume she still goes with her husband to church. But her life is all messed up because of sleeping with a Jesus doll. Can you imagine anything? Have you ever heard of it? Anybody here ever heard of that? Well, that one happened because I was the one that she testified to. And I said to her, you get that thing out of your life. You get that thing out of your home. Don't you ever sleep with that Jesus doll again. I'm here to tell you, he's not no doll in somebody's bed with them. He's the Savior sitting at the Father's right hand. He's been resurrected and he's alive forevermore. And don't you play no games with that. You understand? That's the second commandment. Number three, listen, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I could give you instances of words that you and I have to be very careful not to use because they have in them a kind of background of being Jesus words. Don't you ever say the name of God in vain. Don't you ever say the name of Jesus in vain. If you call on him, you make sure you mean it. You make sure it's from your heart. Jesus, I love you. God, my Father, I love you. Raise your hand and tell him you love him. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, let's hear number four. You want to hear it? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, that's not Saturday. That's the seventh day, he says. Sabbath means seventh. It don't matter to me whether you worship on Saturday or Sunday. But I think Sunday is the right day. The day of the Lord. And I believe you keep it holy. It's not a day to do the things of the world. It's not a day for shopping in the mall. It's not a day for buying your gas. It's not a day for mowing your yard. It's not a day for doing anything of that nature. It's a day to give to worship and praise and adoration to God. Our world is doing everything they can do to make Sunday anything but Sabbath. All these special names they give to Sunday, like today's Father's Day, and I love every father in this building. You're very special, but the world does it to draw you away from the house of God. The world does it to give you an excuse, to give you something to do beside worship and praise and adoration, and I will not fall in the habit of their mind. Let me read another verse to you. It's very important. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do work. Thou shalt nor thy sons, nor thy daughters, nor thy manservants, nor thy maidservants, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. But in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seventh day he hallowed it. He hallowed it. Say with me, today is a hallowed day. Come on, say it with me. I want everybody to say it. Today. Wow. You're not listening to me. Maybe you don't want to say it. Today is a hallowed day. It really is. You say, I didn't know that. Well, you do now. You just heard it in the Bible. You didn't get it from some preacher. Sunday is the day of the Lord. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 10. It says that John the Revelator was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Did you hear that? Revelation 1 and 10. John the Revelator was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That has to be the day of the resurrection. That has to be the day the Holy Ghost was poured out. That's the first day of the week. That's our Sunday. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm happy to know I've got a day that's hallowed to me. And I love worshiping him and praising him. And I love my little nap I get on Sunday afternoon. Brother Steve, you get one of them, don't you? Anybody else get a Sunday afternoon nap? Let me see your hand. It's rest. It's part of the Bible. This is what the Bible's talking about. Two things you do on Sunday. You go to church, you worship God, and you rest. Now, most people say, and you eat. And I must add that I need food on Sunday too. But listen to me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you want God to put his hand on your life, you start keeping your Sabbath day holy. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want you to do it because I said it. I don't want you to do it just because Brother Chambers preaches it. If you don't understand it, you get on your knees and you get before God and you let God teach you. Because I prefer everything you do according to this Bible. You do it because you want to do it. You don't do it because I want you to do it. If all you do is doing what I want you to do, it won't do you a bit of good. Right? But let God teach you. Brother Chambers, I'm willing to listen to the Bible. Well, I'm preaching this morning on standing on the Word. Hallelujah. Standing on the Word. We're going to stand on it a little bit. I believe in standing on the Word. I believe everything I do has to be standing on the Word. And I got to be hurry here. I don't have time to elaborate on all of these, but I really do love them. I really do. Number five is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Did you know you lengthen your days by honoring your father and your mother? And if you dishonor your parents, what is the right word for me to use? Huh? You shorten your days. Yes. How many believe in honoring mom and daddy? Let me see your hand. I guarantee you everybody in here believes in this one. Raise your hand. But do you do it like you should? Do you? I'm telling you, honor thy father and thy mother. And listen, I said to one of my daughters this week, I said, now you say, well, you're not a father, you're a grandfather to those kids. I said, wait a minute now. You can't do that. I'm a father above the fathers. I'm a grandfather. I am a great grandfather. Well, hallelujah. Did you hear that one? That's good, isn't it? I'm a great grandfather. Brother Buck, you a great grandfather. How many times over? Anybody else here? Great grandfather? You great grandfathers? Your great grandmother? I know yours is not grandmother. I mean grandfather. See, and that's a high position. You have to be an example too. Let them see God in you, Brother Robert. Let them see God in you, Sister Mary. Let them know my mama has really found God. My daddy, my grandfather, my great grandfather has really found the Lord. He shines. Oh, I told one of my daughters this morning, I want to ask you to forgive me. I've been a little bit aggravated at y'all lately because you haven't had time for me, but I'm repenting and you're not going to hear it no more. You're not going to hear another sound out of me but worship and praise. That's what I told him, and I meant it. I meant it. Hallelujah. God takes care of the end results. That's not my duty. My duty is do what the Bible says do. I'm standing on the Word. Anybody else want to stand on the Word? Hey, you want to stand on it? Put your feet flat on the ground. Come on, unfold your knees, ladies. Put your feet flat down there. I'm standing on the Word. I'm standing on the Word. I'm standing on the Word. Amen? I'm standing on the Word. He is great. He is wonderful. Let me just, I'm going to let you read those others when you get home. Will you make sure you do that? Book of Exodus, chapter 20. And you read every one of them. And you meditate on them. You know what the psalmist David said? And he meditates in the laws of the Lord day and night. Hallelujah. You ought to memorize all 10 of the commandments and repeat them in the middle of the night when you wake up. Oh, just say, Lord, let me repeat them tonight while I'm laying here awake. And start repeating the 10 commandments. How many could do it now? And you know them in verbatim. Nobody? Are you kidding me? Nobody knows the Ten Commandments in order. You do, Brother Joseph. You're the only one here that knows them. How many will do your best to learn them this week? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand if you'll learn them this week. Look here. My new people. Look here. Look here. Perry, I'm dedicating you to learn all 10 of them this week. Okay, Perry? He's my friend. He's my friend. I just found him visiting about 3 weeks ago, and I like him. You don't mind me challenging you, do you, Perry? Ain't no use of minding me. I'm just going to do it anyway. Brother Don, you too. I mean, Bob, you too, Brother Bob. Listen, learn those 10 commandments and make your life dedicated to them if you can feel that in your heart. And watch the result that you begin to feel in your heart. You watch the peace that you begin to develop in your life. You watch how you begin to feel standing on the Word. Standing on the Word. Hallelujah. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. From now on, I'm standing on the Word. I'm standing on the Word. Those 10 commandments are wonderful. Now, I'm moving in an area that can be controversial with some people. But go to Malachi chapter 3. There are so many things I could preach about this morning. They really are. But I've got to preach to you a little bit about Malachi. I really have. This is one of the most powerful places in all of this great word that I read beginning in Deuteronomy. A statute, a commandment, a judgment of God, whichever one you want to call it. Very important. Malachi 3. We have several people here who have recently been saved. I don't know whether anybody ever told you the blessing that God wants to put in your life. I don't know if you ever learned that when you learn about obedience to God, you're stepping into a new land, a new plan of life. You're rising on a level that maybe you've never known before. But I'm telling you, when you start standing on the Word, your life's going to take a leap. When you start standing on the Word, your life is going to bounce forward and you're going to be proud of the results. Well, somebody help me here. Oh, are you helping me? Will you help me? Oh, learn to obey the Bible. Learn to live by the Bible. And don't you do it because I said it. You get in that Bible and you do it because you learn that God said it. Am I getting that cross very plain? You understand, some preachers just want you to do what they say. I could care less about you doing what I say unless I preach the word to you. Unless I give you what the book said. And then I'm concerned not because you obey me. I'm concerned because you stand on the word and obey him. And your life takes a giant leap. Your life becomes a blessing. Your life becomes a really pretty picture. Could I tell you something I thought about this week? I felt like the Holy Ghost really taught me. I thought about 66 years that I've been saved. And I thought about 60 years, almost 61, that I've been a pastor. And I've never had a member that I didn't love. Is anybody sitting in this building that I've not showed you that there's a person in this church, I love you? Have I showed you, Brother Steve, that I love you? I know I have, because you and Donna are special. Brother Robert, same with you and Mary. Same with you over there, Bob. Any one of you, I care about you. You come here on in the mornings, you'll hear me calling your name. And I don't just call them in a kind of monotone voice. I'll scream them out to God. And then I'll start squalling when the Holy Ghost lays his hand on me. Because I love every member of this family. And I've loved every member I've ever had. I don't remember one that I didn't love. And I watched them. I've never seen a person get saved and be a successful Christian and really live to the nth degree that Christian life from that day forward unless they learn quickly how to pay their tithe and to give to God what belongs to him. Because if you don't learn that, you are reaching, you're touching the bottom line of God's call upon your life to be his and to follow him. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you what I'm feeling from the Holy Ghost in my heart. When you learn to obey God and you do it when it's right and you do it when somebody says it's wrong, you do it when it feels good and you do it when it costs you and it's a sacrifice. You just learn to stand on the word. You learn to do the will of God. You learn to walk in obedience to God. And I don't care what the devil says, what your next door neighbor says, what some preacher on television says, you do what that Bible says, and you'll be proud of it down the road. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody help me. Malachi 3. Have you got your Bible open? Verses 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, and this is the Bible. This is the Holy Ghost talking. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse because for you have robbed me. You are cursed with a curse for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You're talking about God talking, not Brother Chambers. I'm here to tell you that God loves you. God's got a purpose for you. You are as special to God as a human being can be. God wants to care for you, and God wants to watch over you, and God wants to guide your steps, and God wants to put his blessing on you, and God wants to make you shine like you've been to heaven and back. And that's really what happens when you get good and saved. You go to heaven and back. The Bible calls it the Holy of Holies. It's not up in heaven, but it's a wonderful place down here where you pray till you pray through. Wake up now. Wake up now. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. The Lord loves you. You got to say it. Am I saying this with me? The Lord loves even me. Come on, I want to hear everybody say it. Did everybody say that? Let me see your hand if you said it. I got to make sure. The Lord loves even me. The Lord wants to put blessings on your life. The Lord wants to give you an increase in your amount of spending money like you've never had. An increase. Brother Chambers.
Yeah.
He will multiply what you give to him. See, your bank account is God's treasure house. It's not yours, it's his. And 10% of what goes in it is his. And all he requires of you is that 10%. And then he promises, I'll take the 90 and I'll bless it and I'll open the windows of heaven. Do you know how big heaven is? You know how far it is from the east to the west in the heavens? Millions of light years. How big is God's wonder? It's so big he can throw you a bank through it. It's so big he can lay heavenly blessings on you. I'm not preaching prosperity now. I'm just preaching the blessings of God that comes when you start obeying God. When you start doing the will of God. If you've ever experienced this blessing, raise your hand and wave it. I want you to wave it big fashion, okay? Wave it big fashion. I've had these blessings. I know what they are. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven. Woo! Somebody say, whoa! Oh, that's halfway. Y'all are wimpy. Oh, hallelujah. He'll open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. Great day. You know, you could preach this, and how would anybody ever want anything different? See, I'm not preaching this as a hellfire and brimstone issue. It may be for some people. I don't know. I'm not going to argue that one. I'm just going to tell you, it's a blessing to love God so much that you begin to give him what God wants of you. Hallelujah. So open the windows of heaven, Father, and pour me out a blessing. There is not room enough to receive. Look at this church. Look at this $4 million campus. You think we had a bunch of bankers? How many lawyers you think we've had? How many doctors have been a member of this church? How many millionaires have been a member of this church? Nothing but a bunch of us old hard-working common Americans. That's what we are. How many raise your hand if you're one of these common hard-working Americans? Oh, yeah. But God has used us, Brother Dylan, to pay this thing off. It's paid for. Did you hear me? And this man here is putting another coat of paint on the walls for camp meeting. And our fellas just built a fence around the garbage disposal. That fence around the garbage disposal looks better than some pretty homes I see once in a while. It's made right. It's made with very good skill. It's very nice. And when they get the latches on and all finished, it's going to shine. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, where do these blessings come from? They came from obeying God and paying our tithes and giving our offerings and pouring out everything we are on the kingdom work of God. I don't know about you, but I don't have nothing belongs to me. I don't even want it. I want it in God's hands. I want it all to be his. I want my bank account to be his treasure house. I don't want it to be something that I gloat in and something that I'm in love of. Oh no, friend. When I leave here, I'm going to heaven. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen an ambulance with a U-Haul trailer hooked behind it? A hearse. Thank you for helping me. He's preaching tonight and he's trying to get started already. Have you ever seen a hearse with a U-Haul trailer behind it, Bob? Have you, Bob? You haven't, had you? Nobody has. You ain't going to take it with you. But you can send it over in front of you. You can't take it with you when you die, but you can send it in front of you before you die. Now, that is pretty good. I never thought about it like that, but that is pretty good. You can't take it with you, but you can send it in front of you. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody ought to stand up and shout. What's wrong with you, huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, you can't take it with you, but you can send it in front of you. I do that every time I come to church. Hallelujah. Sister Marilyn, you act like you're enjoying this, are you? Hallelujah. Everybody that wants to stand on the truth, I want you to stand up. And I want you to, don't put your Bible on the floor now. We don't play games with the Bible. We're not going to desecrate this which belongs to God. But in your heart, I want you to say, my feet are on the Word. My feet are on the Word. My name's on the roll. My feet's on the word, and that's a rock. My feet's on the rock, and I got a song for heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a joy this morning. I don't know about you, but I think I've preached pretty good. What do you think about that, Steve? Pretty good? How about you, Robert? Listen. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. To obey God is a joy. Perry, you'll make a great Christian. You'll pour this thing wholly out to God. Are you ready? Are you ready? I believe you are, Perry. He is a precious man. Precious man. Good carpenter, too. Absolutely. Listen, church. We are blessed. We are blessed. I said we are blessed. Somebody help me say we're blessed. God has put us on the word. My feet are on the word. I'm telling you tonight, my feet's on the word. I don't want nothing else. I don't want you standing nowhere else but on the word. I want you to get on the word. Don't you listen to Brother Chambers and do something because I say it. You go home and you say, I'm going to check on that preacher. I'm not sure that preacher's right. I believe that preacher made a mistake this morning. All right, you go home and you find it. Call me. I'll come over to your house. Bring my Bible. And I'll let you help me. Teach me. But you make sure it's the word. Because I think I'm going to know. Because I believe that book. I believe that book. Oh, I want you just to lift your hands up to God now. Would you, Father? Father, we are the house of God this morning. We've heard the truth. We have really heard the truth, Father. We've heard the word straight. And I believe everybody here has loved it. And I don't believe there'll be a person that'll reject an ounce of it. I believe you'll get a hold of their hearts and you'll help them to give themselves to obey you. I'm claiming it right now. Raise your hands and give yourself to him. Lord, I'm giving you all of me. I'm giving you all to me, Lord. I'm going to live by this Bible. I'm going to live by this truth. I'm going to make this church stronger.
That will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, and no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day.
Just a moment.